the capital punishments, the jurist system, the judicial system altogether needs a just government. There has to be laws and regulations from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, Islam being a religion, meaning that it is for the happiness or for the goodness of human beings, so whether be it in this world or the hereafter, it needs to be applied through government. And therefore, it is vital for Islam to have its own, state or government.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, but the question is something, does Islam want to rule the world? Well, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Yes, what Sheikh said is true, that, for the society to have actually order, to be managed in an order, requires government, and Islam has a suggestion for the government. And there is a model in Islam, and alhamdulillah, we have been benefited from the teachings of Al-Quran and the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet that this is possible. But can Islam be ruling the whole world, or is Islam after ruling the whole world? Actually, I have to say yes, due to some reasons, due to some factors. The first that I want to refer to is comprehensiveness of Islam among all the religions on the scene of the earth, or specifically the Abrahamic religions. Islam is the most comprehensive religion. Even those religions themselves actually confess that Islam is the most comprehensive, because they have been awaiting for a comprehensive religion to come, and their prophets actually gave them tidings for this comprehensive religion to come. So we can see this, that Islam has a say for every single action in the world, in the life that we are in need of. So Islam actually resolves all the questions of human being in this world. So we cannot find such a thing in other religion. If we shall go in depth talking about this. Second is conformity of Islamic rulings with intellect. Look, كلما حكم بالشرع حكم العقل. That is, whatever is in Islam actually is in accordance with al-aql, intellect. So there is nothing opposite the intellect in Islam. So whatever is intellectual is also Islamic. So this is another reason that we say that Islam has this potentiality, this capability to rule the world, and has an internal conformity.
Yeah.
The next is the deficiencies that we see in other religions, that we see that they are not able to provide an answer for the questions, or for the modern questions of the human being. It can be applied in different issues, from the issues that we have in medicine and medical issues to the social and, let's say, cultural issues that human beings are usually afflicted with. Islam has a comprehensive answer for all those questions.
Yeah.
We can refer to them, inshallah, also one by one. The next is that the time for the previous religions has already come up, and those earlier religions have faced distortion. I mean, there is no access to the undistorted version of previous religions. So if the other religions want to say that, okay, we have also a say in front of Islam, to say, okay, we are also a rival for Islam and Islamic teachings, for a modern man, it cannot be said so, because, for example, one certain religion, if we want to look at it, I mean, there are two or three versions of their divine book only. This is actually one aspect of it. If it can be applied also to other aspects of their teachings, from which version are we going to follow? Which, let's say, rulings are we going to follow? So this is another issue that actually we might face with problem if we follow other religions. So we can go in and discuss these issues that we have mentioned, inshallah, one by one.
Thank you, Brother Ali. So you mentioned the reasons in the factors that show us that Islam has the potentiality to actually rule the world, okay? Yeah. And for ruling the world, we need to conquer the world, first of all, okay? I mean, you have to have the power to control these people all over the world. I mean, in this modern world, it seems like a bit ambitious, isn't it?
Look, that's good that you mentioned this, but it's not... what I explained does not mean that we are going to conquer the whole world.
Yeah.
We have seen that the Holy Prophet introduced Islam to the world, but did he start any war to conquer other territories just to say that Islam should be should spread in the whole world? No, the beauty of the world of Islam actually can find its... the attraction of the beauty of the world of Islam can attract people to it. So Islam is not after, for example, conquering different countries and territories to be added to the Islamic territories. No, this is not the concept.
Thank you, brother. So how about you, Sheikh? You seem like a bit critical here. And
personally, the fact of the matter is that if the concept of spreading it and conquering the world is by making people follow your order, people following your order, like how you asked the question, is not a simple thing to do. People do not follow orders just out of the blue. There has to be some kind of power out there that makes the people allowing you to follow them. And of course, like if you look at the beginning of Islam, how it started off, Islam, as the Prophet ﷺ, started with the poor people. People who lived hardships until they moved from Mecca to Medina. Of course, they went to Habasha, then to Medina, some of them. And after that, the first order did start off with defending themselves. But then after their power grew, it started growing and growing and growing until after the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi, it's a controversial, debated topic of whether Amir al-Mu'minin Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam accepted the spreading of the wars and how it went along and whatnot, and whether Al-Hasan al-Husayn alayhi salam, were they in combat as well during the times, and or whether they weren't. But let's leave out Islam altogether. Just talking about anything that wants to rule. Nowadays, with so many people stating that this is my country, this is my border, this is my line, this is my guideline, this is my ruler, this is my king, this is my president, how are you going to control them just by words? People don't always follow words. So that's my personal take on it. Some people may view it as kind of a caveman view, but at the end of the day, we'll see what happens when the imam comes.
Yeah. Thank you, Sheikh. So, brother,
I want to say that yes, Imam Ali Salam will come, Imam Mahdi Ali Salam will come, but this uprising or this, let's say, revolution that Imam is going to bring is not going to happen necessarily with weapons. I think this
is not. Is he going to have enemies?
No, definitely Imam has enemies.
Enemies, but usually enemies, are they going to play clean?
Well, if you are expecting, let me finish it, then inshallah you can enter. If Imam's revolution is going to happen by massacre, killing, I think, so it's it might be an unwelcome start for the revolution of Imam. But what is quite certain in the narrations that the arrival of Imam is with a joy and ecstasy from the side of people. You see, all the people have been awaiting for him. Not only Muslims, not only Shias, then even the followers of other religions join him, with enthusiasm. It means that it's a sort of, let's say, attraction that he has, like a magnet, that he is collecting people. Actually, people go towards him. Well, it does not mean that he starts this revolution with a bloodshed. No, those bloodshed have happened before his arrival and advent.
The Jews were waiting for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi. Christians were waiting for the arrival of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi
wa alayhi. Do you approve whatever I said on a based on hadith? No.
On what? That people were waiting for him?
There's bloodshed, whatever has happened, and in what we have heard on, for example, unfortunately by this.
There were difficulties.
Narrations have happened before him. But the arrival and the advent of Imam is with all peace and beauty rather than massacre and killing.
I actually disagree with that. There are various sayings about the topic, and it is debated. like the sayings that the man comes to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, telling him when he views the caliph of Bani Abbas and the people that follow him, look at them, how lucky are they, how luxurious they are living. And when are you going to come? When is the qam of the Prophet going to come? Imam Sadiq alayhi salam stated, you think that when the qam of the Prophet comes, it's going to be like this? So, it's going to be hardship and blood.
Yeah.
Hardship and blood.
Look, not by Imam himself. Before him, the hardship and blood has happened already by people due to the lack of Imam. This is due to lack of rahmah among the people.
The wars.
That's why we are suffering from his absence. This absence brings calamities.
I agree. The absence brings calamities. So but the calamities, thing is that the people.
Calamities are the time before his arrival. When he arrives, he brings all peace.
How does it bring peace?
I mean, look, the existence. Look, have you ever seen the narrations of the birth of Muhammad, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? When he came, all the land have become green. I mean, even in the vicinity of Mecca, you see how beautifully the people got kind to each other. This was blessing of a person.
That's the comparison.
This is a lot. When the same way that happened for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
You mean there were no war, no weapons?
No. I mean, all the wars, all the weapons have happened already before that. When but there is a final, I can't call it a final check, but this is not all bloodshed and all war.
Yeah, for sure.
This is a very simple thing to finalize everything.
But so, can you deny the need?
No, definitely we are not denying it.
That's the thing.
No, but you're saying he is going to I mean, we have to actually expand Islam with war. No, this is not the case.
Thank you, Brother Ali. Thank you, Sheikh, for being with me, arguing, and all the things. It was kind of a fantastic episode. And thank you to your listeners for staying with us. I hope you enjoy this episode specifically. And I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, except Al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, yaquluha lana yawm al-qiyamati. Ummati, Ummati, yaquluha shafa'atan ana laha.
Welcome back to Aperture. Over the past 50 years, the average global temperature has increased at the fastest rate in recorded history. Scientists agree that the Earth's rising temperatures are fueling longer and hotter heat waves, more frequent droughts, heavier rainfall, and more powerful hurricanes. The impacts of global warming are being felt across the globe. And it could speed up if we keep burning fossil fuels at our current pace. But it's not just global warming. Other forms of pollution are also destroying the Earth. Now, many experts agree that environmental, economic, and health consequences are likely to occur if current trends continue. Don't go away. Here's the rest of the documentary.
We are a family, the Earth itself, and the humans that live on this planet. We can have a positive or negative interaction with each other. If we do negative things, nature will respond negatively.
Unfortunately, when we collectively use more and produce more, we see this as welfare. Anywhere in the world, if the production of automobiles, cement, or electricity increases, officials of that country take pride in it. For instance, they say we've been able to boost steel production by 10%.
Our main priority now is to cap production.
They would never come and say that we've cut production because the earth is sick, it has a problem, that this year we've cut our production, we've cut cement, we've cut steel in order to cause less harm to the earth. We haven't yet reached that stage.
Today, we hardly consider the future in our decisions. I can frankly say that we never think about the future.
The sky that you look upon, the air that you breathe, is your father. The planet you live on is your mother.
We failed to take into consideration the Earth's biological capacity, and this is the number one reason for the disaster we're now facing.
The polar bear, the ruler of the Arctic. There are 25,000 of them left in the world. They're on the verge of extinction. Animals need ice for hunting seals and other prey, but the Arctic is melting.
Our water resources are being destroyed. Natural ice caps, which are the main source of sweet drinking water for billions of people, are melting. These are issues that will powerfully affect the future of mankind.
Everyone here is praying for more rain, but is it already too late?
Lack of water will be the main problem for mankind in the future.
It certainly looks like a crisis after the worst drought in 80 years in the state of São Paulo. Reservoirs have reached rock bottom, and everyone's hoping the rainy season will bring a miracle.
With global warming, we're concerned about the future of the Earth's environment and worried about the continued life of human beings. We're concerned about environmental adversities that could happen to the Earth. For example, the rise of international waters, melting of polar ice caps, and extinction of many animal species.
Look, with the predicted temperature changes, all polar ice caps are melting. Why? Why is all this happening? Because the temperature is rising, and so Q, or heat energy, is increasing. The temperature on Earth is rising. When a place like Alaska and cold climate regions are going down, well, this temperature difference is being narrowed. What will happen if the temperature difference narrows? Distances are being narrowed. So that means depth is being added to. When it becomes deeper, it means we're moving into it. Due to the destruction we're causing to the planet, polar ice caps will melt in no time and water levels will rise. Then you'll see how many cities will be totally inundated, and this will lead to great expense and loss for humans. How many refugees will we have? What amount of humanitarian aid would be required for those inundated countries and to accommodate their people?
am thinking about all the suffering you have caused us.
It's obvious that at some level we abuse the Earth to make money, but then we have to spend it, and the spending will probably increase.
I am trapped in a nightmare. I am trapped in this nightmare. I hope I wake up soon. This catastrophe is more than I can bear, but I am a forgiving mother. I cannot stand that my children...
The main discussion point here is, to what extent are we endangering the balance of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere?
This is the result of years of indifference toward the rise of fuel consumption by Earth's inhabitants, using fossil fuels and extracting amounts of carbon from the depths of the Earth and emitting it out into our atmosphere, with the oceans and water's low capacity in absorbing it.
Countries that produce oil and gas highly depend on oil revenues for their income. Well, if we discuss cutting emissions, that would mean reducing the production of fossil fuels, and that could somehow affect their income in the future.
We humans, for our own interests, have been indifferent toward the Earth by gradually increasing the use of heating devices for transportation, as in cars, or fossil fuels that are used in industries, petrochemical refineries, powerhouses, and household fuels, and so on.
این محصول بی‌توجهی ما به حال زمین بوده.
یعنی ما در این
We all breathe the same air. There may be less pollution in one place and more in another, but its effect on the environment can be hazardous for us all.
برای همه ما میتونه زیانبار و زیانبخش باشه.
Everything. Used to be so good, but my children started to forget about me. They started to only think about themselves and forgot about their mother. I don't quite understand why greed has taken such a hold of you. My children have brought disorder to this world.
We will see many people lose their habitats due to rising seawater levels in the future.
Consider the chain of islands that make up the Maldives, which are only 1.2 meters above sea level at most. The country will lose a large portion of its land with the minutest rise in open water levels. Residential areas will be destroyed.
Many people will be unable to continue living in their own countries due to drought and lack of water.
You pointed out to wars being fought in the future over water. Unfortunately, I have to say that these wars have already started. The future is now. Since entering the 21st century, even in our own western region, there have been serious challenges over water resources. So discussions about war and the competition for having access to water resources have already begun. It may not be that serious now, but be aware of its complications.
A large number of people will have to be relocated because their cities will become uninhabitable.
These people will migrate to places across the world, but these other areas do not have a high capacity either. It will be one of mankind's major problems in the future.
What does it all mean? It will mean high expenses for human living, something we never thought about. We never thought that a big city could ever become uninhabitable, a city with millions of residents, but it's happening.
The people I see, these are people, Paula, let me explain, who are people with limited resources. These are people who did not have the wherewithal to get out of town. They didn't have cars. There's no way they could pay for a hotel room. They stayed in their houses because they had to. And then the water came up. And I'm sure there were elderly here, there were infirm here. It's just horrific.
پیش بینی میشه که طی 15 سال آینده بر اساس بهترین برآوردهای
Based on UN estimations, it's predicted that within the next 15 years at most, between 80 and 90 million people will be displaced from small countries that are made up of chains of islands due to global warming and climate change. Then we won't be dealing with migrants and asylum seekers displaced by war and conflict. We will have migrants fleeing environmental disasters as well. So we need to make people around the world more aware of this eventuation and find a solution for it.
در جامعه جهانی باید با این ادبیات بیشتر خودمون رو معنوس بکنیم و براش تدبیر بیندیشیم.
If I make a mistake here and go to jail, my kids and family will live the effects. I've done something wrong, but my child will feel its effects. If I make a mistake as a member of the global community, that mistake affects the whole. One multiplied by 1,000. One is a small figure. One is a small figure, but it's multiplied by 1,000. What does it equal? It equals 1,000. We have an index called M for mistake, which is a huge figure collectively. It's the mass of the entire planet. It's not at all a small figure. Now, even if you have an extremely small figure, you're multiplying it by a very large number. 1 multiplied by 1,000 equals 1,000. The 1 turned into 1,000. 2 multiplied by 1,000 equals 2,000. 3 multiplied by 1,000 equals 3,000. 0.5 multiplied by 1,000 equals 500. So we should be aware of what we're doing.
که داریم چه میکنیم؟ زمین هم داره خیلی تلاش میکنه که
The Earth is also making all efforts to somehow balance all the noise and demands we're imposing on it. However, our power, mankind's destructive power, is now seemingly taking the upper hand over the Earth's ability to regenerate itself.
Anyways, we should know that if the doors to the future open in this way, it will lead to a grave crisis.
Thank you.
shivering, and I feel nauseous. My children, children, the economic factor is not a sustainable argument. I think about climate change and this disaster.
The components of social welfare need to be changed. The developing world should no longer be using the same criterion the developed world has defined as welfare for its people and follow their footsteps.
If we take an overall look, I think any project, any move, any industrialization, any process or any technology should calculate the temperature rise on the Earth in proportion with the delta T quotient.
Finally, humans can go on living for a week or two without food and a few days without water, but without air, we can't but survive for a minute. It is the most vital of anything the Earth's atmosphere has provided us with. We're using it, but on the other hand, we're destroying it, badly, and with high cost. We place it into a poorly manufactured man-made combustion device and receive toxic chemicals on the other side, which remains. It remains and moves around. And the Earth has no way to get rid of some of these toxic chemicals we've produced.
The economy has limited all activities to itself, and those who speak about the impact on the environment and the earth just talk and hold summits, but practically it's almost useless.
Concern. Just concern. What does that mean? What does being concerned mean? Static concern is meaningless. Concern should be dynamic. If you're concerned, you should do something to reduce that concern. That's a dynamic solution, not a static one. A static solution just adds to your concern and accumulates and is useless. Concern must be dynamic. What does dynamic mean? It means you must seek a real solution for it. It means you need to have a program.
I believe that if we carry on like this, making the Earth sick and failing to do anything about this sickness, we'll be deeply ashamed in front of our next generations. They've had no role in bringing about this situation, yet they have to bear the consequences. Consequences that are getting worse by the day. So I can't do anything but apologize to the next generation who might be watching this film for the disasters that my generation is causing the environment and the earth.
I don't understand why. My children are destroying the one and only home that they have. As my children, they have closed their eyes to the facts. Don't use your planet in the wrong way. We are a part of you, not separated from you.
The Earth has been stable and balanced due to its ecosystem. It carried on with its life way before we ever came along and started hurting and destroying it. Finally, just like a pendulum will do, if you place it out of balance, it will try to balance itself, reach its lowest energy level, and become balanced.
The Earth is our mother. It's beautiful, it's a creator, it's merciful, and we in return are being very bad children.
Well, it's perfectly true that every single one of us citizens of the Earth must do our share to reduce pollution. But to curb global warming and avoid its dire consequences, the countries most responsible must make an effort. The U.S. has caused more global warming than any other country. Research shows that from 1850 to the year 2011, the United States, a single country, produced 27% of the total carbon dioxide emissions of the world. No other single country was even close. Indeed, the U.S. even outdistanced all the nations of the European Union combined. Well, that's a wrap for this week, but join me again next week here on Aperture. Goodbye for now.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Hussein Latifi and you're listening to your program For Humanity from IRIB English Radio. In this episode, we were talking about Quranic teachings related to mankind and the concept of humanity in the Holy Quran. And we talked about the role that faith and belief has to play in the overall perfection of mankind. And we said that this faith has different levels. And it's possible to increase the faith. Like the way there are different ways to increase other aspects of soul. Like, for example, virtues. Or, for example, some qualities that we have and we want to increase them. Also, faith is like that. It's a quality that we have as human beings, and we can increase them. According to the verses of the Holy Quran, there are some techniques or some ways to increase our faith. One of them is to think. And maybe you ask, to think about what? So Quran says one of the things that we can think about is the history and the destination or the destiny of previous nations. In one verse we recite, أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَيَنْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Why those who don't believe, why don't they go around the earth and see what happened to previous nations? The fact that this life is transient, and the fact that this life could be very misleading. When we go see the rise and fall of different civilizations, what made them be prosperous and what made them fall? By studying this, we realize that one element common to all failures of the history of humanity is losing hope and losing trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, losing trust in the final destination of mankind, and getting busy with some worldly pleasures. So Quran says, think about these things, that if you're powerful, if you have anything you want, then you're not better than some previous nations that were like exactly like that. And where they are now, they're gone all. So this is the destiny that is waiting for us as well. And the thing that we can get for ourselves from this short period of time that we have in this life, we should think what that is, the plan that we have for our eternal life. Not be made busy with those transient worldly matters. Or in other words, Quran says, أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَتَكُونَ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ يَعْقِلُونَ بِهَا. So We have people who have gone around the world, or they go here and there sightseeing and visiting different places of the world. But it's not necessarily that they see those things with analysis. It's very important. A person might be sitting at home, but he has a great insight of the history of humanity, of different civilizations, different communities and societies and nations. And it's possible for a person to be in trips here and there, but he does not have that profound insight. Wherever he goes, he just goes to see some superficial things, and without getting deeper to the meanings, getting deeper to the history of cultures. Quran says, فَتَكُونَ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ يَعْقِلُونَ بِهَا. If you want to do sayr, go around the earth, before that you should get ready, or you should prepare your mind and your heart to understand things. And this is very important. And he says, some people, they don't have a blind eye, but they have a blind heart. They see a lot of things, but they don't take lesson from those things. We will have a break and come back to continue some of the ways that Quran suggests for increasing our faith.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. This is Hussein Latifi. You're listening to your program for Humanity from IRIB English Radio. We were talking about the ways that Quran suggests for having a better faith or increase in one's faith. And this verse says contemplation and thinking about the verses of the Holy Quran. أَفَلَمْ يَدَّبَّرُوا الْقَوْلَ أَمْ جَاءَهُمْ مَا لَمْ يَأْتِ آبَاءَهُمُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. Why don't they ponder upon and contemplate and think about the verses of the Holy Quran? And this is unfortunately true even for many Muslims, that some of us, we don't recite the Holy Quran that much. Some of us just recite the surface, I mean, just the words, like a ritual, formal act. But we don't contemplate over the verses as it deserves, so let alone other people. So Quran says, if you want your faith to be increased, one way is to think about the verses of the revelation. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. Believers are those for whom, when the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is recounted, their heart gets prepared, or vajilat, a kind of fear that is not fear, a kind of fear that is, let's say, it's a sense of awe and bewilderment. And وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ, and when the verses of the Holy Quran or the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is recited for them, their faith is increased. So this is a sign of iman, to think about the verses of the Holy Quran and have contemplation over the different aspects of revelation. Another thing is to avoid arrogance. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَفَلَمْ تَكُنْ آيَاتِي تُتْلَى عَلَيْكُمْ فَاسْتَكْبَرْتُمْ. On the day of judgment, angels address disbelievers and they say, the verses of the Holy Quran or the verses of Revelation were recited to you, but you showed arrogance and you were not humble enough to accept the truth. So this is one reality that we have, that some people, because of the fact that they think, for example, if they show humility towards truth, they lose their personality, or some other beliefs that they have, they don't want to accept reality, they don't want to accept the truth. And this very thing stops them from having faith, or stops them from having a good faith, They feel embarrassed sometimes. I don't know how to put it. But this istikbar, this arrogance, stops them from having a good quality faith. And also, there are other verses that related to the nature of the life of the dunya, or this worldly life that we talked a little bit when we were talking about looking and searching and studying previous nations. So all of these, in addition to other verses, lead one to increase his faith and also guard his faith against some of the things that decrease and reduce the faith, like sins and like mistakes that, inshallah, we should talk about in a separate episode. Thank you very much for listening. Inshallah, join me in the next episode to talk about other aspects related to faith. Walhamdulillah, Rabbil Alam. Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Nabi, sallallahu ala Muhammad, wa ala ali Nabi.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Stories from the past. Stories from the lives of the infallibles. Stories from different parts of the world. On the Lantern.
In the name of Allah, Salam. So welcome, this is another episode of Lantern. On the continuation of this episode of Lantern, we have the hunter, the sheikh, and the hungry cat. Once upon a time, there lived a hunter in a forest. He was young and strong and very successful as a hunter. To amuse himself, this hunter kept a cat as a pet. In the late afternoon, when the hunter ate his meal of roasted meat, he gave some of it to the cat. This cat got so used to the meat that if any other food was offered that was not meat, it would refuse to eat it. It was indeed a spoiled cat. It so happened that one day the young man fell sick. He could not go out hunting. So the hunter took out some barley, boiled it, and sat down to it. The cat came running for its food, and the hunter offered some of the barley to the cat. The cat smelled the barley, hissed at the food, and walked away. There also lived in the forest a certain sheikh in a hut not too far away from that of the hunter. Sensing that something was wrong with the hunter because he had not heard the sounds that resulted from his usual hunting, the sheikh went to see the young man. "Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you," the sheikh greeted the young hunter. "Are you well, my young friend?" said the sheikh. "I have a fever, my sheikh," said the hunter, "and a terrible headache, so I could not go hunting today." At this point, the hunter's pet cat came out. It was still hissing from the lack of meat. "This cat eats only meat," said the hunter. "I offered it some barley, but it refused to eat it, and it has been hissing since the morning." The sheikh thought for a moment. "Give me the cat for 3 days," said the sheikh, "and help me build a cage. I will train the cat." The sheikh carried home the cage and with it the cat. The first day he offered the cat water and some barley in a cup, which was placed outside the cage, and within each and within reach of the cat hissed and turned away. This scene was repeated the second day. The third day, the sheikh pulled the cup of barley away so that the cat could not reach it even if it wanted to. The cat hissed all morning, but by the afternoon of the third day, the hissing stopped and it was all quiet. By now, the hunter was feeling better and he came to the sheikh to collect his cat. Greeting the sheikh, he asked how the cat was doing. "I will show you," said the sheikh. He opened the door to the cage. The cat ran straight to the cup of barley. Only after licking the cup clean of all the barley did the cat turn to the hunter. The hunter had learned his lesson. "Thank you, my sheikh," said the hunter. "I should treat my nafs the way you treated this cat. Do not give it to the fancy desires of your nafs. Keep it on the tight leash, feed it with the food of contentment."
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Dear audience, welcome to a new episode of Lantern from iWeb English Radio. This is Zainab Musavi, and what we do in this program is to listen to certain stories and then take the moral lessons out of them in order for us to make use of them in our ordinary life as Muslims. You know, the story we've just listened to is about training the nafs and being aware not to let it do what it desires in an uncontrollable manner. The third type of nafs is nafs al-mutma'inna. The Holy Book of Quran says, يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّ ارْجَعِي إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَّ. To the righteous, it will be said, O reassured soul, return to your Lord well-pleased and pleasing to Him. Surah Al-Fajr, verses number 27 and 28. This type of nafs that is introduced as mutma'inna means that the nafs is a state of serenity, the contented, tranquil, at peace nafs. You know, obviously, the peace here means that it has aman or safety and itminan, that is contentment from doing sin. It has no unlawful desires. It has desires that it was the nafs, that as the nafs was. You know, that is what the nafs does, but it only desires good things. The sign of this nafs is exactly what we just mentioned. You know, this person not only abstains from sin, he or she no longer desires sin. that faculty and part of their humanity that desires, that is their nafs, only and only desires things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala views as desirable. And it has stopped desiring those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has labeled them as undesirable. Okay, let's go for a short break and soon we will be back.
The Lantern.
Under the light of lantern, we'll look at the story which indicates a moral aspects of our life.
Welcome back to your audience. You're listening to Lantern and we are talking about different types of nafs, and we want to talk more about one of them, that is nafs al-ammara. Now let's talk a little more about this nafs that we are supposed to train, which is nafs al-ammara. Following nafs al-ammara is among those actions that can destroy man at any level. The Holy Book of Quran warns believers against it, advising people to stay away from it and remain cautious. This nafs refers to any action or covert behavior which is against the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants man to reach perfection and his will is focused on this target. If our desires are not in line with that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we end up in following nafs al-ammara. This is why the Holy Book of Quran recommends people to stay away from those people who only follow their nafs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تُطْعِ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. Do not be those whom we have caused to neglect us and instead follow their own desires beyond all limits. Surah Al-Kahf, verse number 28. Failing to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgetting His mercies, rule, authority, following Satan and implementing extremist actions are examples where nafs al-mutma'inna can lead us to. There is a hadith from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in which a military battle is described as the smaller jihad and the struggle against the soul is characterized as greater jihad or the major jihad or the major struggle. Allama Tabatabai believes that the struggle against the soul in this hadith is struggle against commanding soul or nafs al-ammara. Allama Majlisi cites a hadith to effect that your greatest enemy is your soul, interpreting it as referring to one's evil commanding soul. Okay, dear listeners, that's the time we've got for this episode of Lantern. Today we talked about different types of nafs, and especially we talked about nafs al-ammara and how dangerous it can be. And I hope that all of us would work on ourselves and leave this nafs to its own and come nearer to nafs al-lawama and nafs al-mutma'inna, inshallah. Thank you very much for being with us in this episode. Until another episode, I bid you farewell and may Allah protect you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب.